Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. It's your go. It's your thing.
Hey, y'all. And we are back. So if I do a little bit more singing for this Brown Ambition episode, it's because I've got my fancy mic. And it looks like that old school. How would you describe our mic, Mandy?
Schmancy.
Right? Fancy, schmancy, old school, like.
Professional.
Giving him something he can feel. I don't know why, but it makes me want to sing like those like old and vogue songs.
All right, well. I'm going to need you to simmer down.
And caress the mic.
this is the weekend quiet storms.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. We can say, welcome back to Brown Ambition Podcast.
We are silly. We are silly. No one takes us seriously. I don't understand why they take us seriously. Well, the weekend was good. This has been the most Monday I've ever had. Like, I lost my keys this morning. I got into work to like three different fires I had to put out. So Monday kicked my butt, but the weekend was fine. The weekend was almost like too chillax. Like, we were almost stressed out by how little we had to do. It's been such a hectic past 2 months of like weddings and traveling, and you know how it is. And I feel like this was the first quiet weekend in about 2 months, and we just were like, what do we do with ourselves? Do you want to go see a movie? I don't know, that seems like far place. I don't feel like it's kind of far to go to a movie. Well, let's do Netflix. What are we gonna watch? And it was weird. It was creepy weird.
My weekend was the opposite of chill. I have not had like, I feel like I've just been so like hectic, but not even in a bad way, because sometimes it's hectic and I'm like miserable with it, because I'm just like, I can't, I'm so overwhelmed. But it's been so much good stuff. So I decided to write, well, I decided a little while ago to do a children's book, and now I have almost three, like just out of the blue. I just got a surge. So what I worked on this weekend is I'm doing a book. I really want to highlight brown fathers and their kids, because, you know, there's that terrible myth that brown fathers do not spend time with their children, something like that. But I also want to, you know, I want it to be a finance book for kids in a way, but something that's age appropriate. So I had this amazing photographer that shoots all around the world, and somehow I convinced him to bless me with his amazing skills. His name is Nima Etabar. And this weekend we shot all of these brown fathers interacting with their kids. And one of the books is called The Cost of a Coney's Day. And a Coney is this little 9-year-old boy who is adorable. His father, Baja, is a friend of mine, and they hang out on the weekends. And we shot them this weekend just like doing what they normally do, taking the train, eating pizza, you know, getting a Redbox video, walking through the park, you know, skateboarding. And so we're going to, like, the reader, like whatever little boy or girl is going to read this book, is going to be able to follow Abaja, my friend, and his son Akoni throughout their day, and at different kind of interludes, guess how much that activity cost. And on the next page, it'll say something like, Baja and his son Akoni love pizza. Can you guess how much a slice of pizza costs? And on the next page, it'll tell you. So it's like a fun way to kind of follow this father and son as they spend time, but then also learn about the cost of things. And some of the things are free. Some cost a little bit more. Some cost a little less.
So it'll be like a photo book with photos by this guy, not like a cartoon?
Yeah, not like a cartoon. So I thought it'd be really dope, you know, to to show real life father and son, and to get a photographer that is like a legit photographer, because I want to also raise the level of art in kids' lives, you know? So it's like, you know, you're getting this beautiful photography from a world-renowned photographer, but it's in a kid's book. So your four-year-old, you know, gets to be elevated in art as well as learn about money and learn that fathers spend time with their kids.
That's nice.
I'm excited.
Well, thanks for making me feel crappy for my laid-back weekend.
No, I don't. No, it's just, it's been.
Do you want to hear about Jane the Virgin?
I wish, but I've just been so tired. I have been doing, like, poor Superman. Like, the other day, like, meanwhile, I've been home. It's not like, you know, I work from home largely. I do have my office now, but it's not like we don't see each other, like, every 20 minutes. And the other day, he looked at me. He said, I miss you. And I felt so bad because it's like I'm here but not here. And I'm like, okay, I need to get a personal assistant. That's what I decided.
That's right. Aren't you hiring?
I am. I just cannot do this alone. Like of course there will be some sort of like budget needs to work involved too, but honestly, I need someone who I'm like, could you please take this to the mail for me? You know, could you please pick up my dry cleaning? Can you send out this invoice? So like a mix between like my personal assistant for Tiffany and some assistant stuff for the budget Nista, but I need someone in person in Jersey, like someone, you know, who doesn't live far from Newark, who would work with me basically not full time, but basically kind of full time. I don't know if it'd be hourly or salary wise, but I've been setting aside the money for it because I told myself I'm not going to go into 2017 without help because I've just been so overwhelmed, you know, because I'm getting the work done, but it's suffering like home life. I'm like, you know, these babies are not going to make themselves.
It's hard to hire help when you need it, like, you know, next level help, because you have like virtual assistants and stuff. But I was at a talk with some female entrepreneurs, and someone asked her what was the most difficult part of starting a business, and she was like, knowing when to hire help, like exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, because you feel kind of like weird, like, girl, you don't need somebody to go to the post office for you.
Yes, you
and clean it. And it's not until like I go and I run errands, and then 2 hours later, I'm like, oh my gosh, I did not do the presentation and the proposal I'm supposed to do, because I'm out here doing things that, you know, I can hire someone to do. And so that's what I, you know, I'm not giving myself any grief over it. I'm hiring and I'm setting aside, you know, money for it, because it's just, it has to be done, because in, like I said, it's, if it was just me and I was single, I wouldn't need it. But if I'm going to make time for my family, then I have to get help.
Yeah. Oh, I am like 97% sure we're going to have to hire like a maid. Because I won't do it. Like, I can't. I struggle with it. You know, I feel like there's still a little bit of the expectation. You know, I do live with my mother-in-law, my future mother-in-law. And I do feel like there's still a little bit of an expectation, even though, you know, we both work, for me to chip in a little bit differently, like in different ways. And not that, you know, fiance boo ever sort of, you know, has that expectation. Like, you know, he'd never be like, you know, I expect dinner on the table at 7 and this and that and this and that. But, you know, there's just things about me that are never going to change. Like, I'm never going to iron things. I'm never going to want to make beds or like cleaned a bunch of dishes, like, and it's, you know, I feel like I sort of at this point, when I come home super late and I, you know, work really hard, I, you know, why make yourself do it if you can, you know, if you worked hard and you can afford to have someone sort of help out, you know? And it's sort of like, you know, I know intellectually that I should be able to get that kind of help. But then on the other side, it's like, well, you know, why can't I just do it all? Like, why can't I just handle it, like do the work and then come home and just, you know, figure it out? But I'm I don't even have kids yet and I'm struggling. Like, you should see the room I'm in right now. It is embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
I was like, so Superman, you're gonna be upstairs or you're gonna be downstairs? Okay, so if you're gonna be upstairs, don't come down until and I'm just like, and even then I came home, I'm like, did you eat dinner? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I mean, he's an adult, so, you know, he can make food for himself, but I'm finding that he's doing more than his fair share. And I always feel guilty, always. Like, it's not even the work that's suffering. I'm just like, and I'm always like on pins and needles that he's going to be like, oh, but he never is, which makes me even feel more guilty.
Oh, he's that's always nice.
Like, I know. He's
See,
always like,
fiance Boo and I are both bad at domestic stuff. So it's like, we're like yelling at each other, like, why don't you make the bed? Why don't you make the bed? Well, I hate making beds. Well, so do I. So who's going to do it?
He's like a neat freak. So he's always mopping and mopping. I'm like,
That
yo,
must be
son, one thing
nice.
I won't be doing is mopping. I just can't.
I,
But
mm-mm.
dishes, mopping, laundry, this is, I'm like, oh, Superman, I'm sorry.
That's
Why
nice,
don't
though. That's nice.
I know, but I'm like, how long before he's like, I've had it up to here with you.
Oh,
So yeah,
man.
no, but I'm gonna get it together. And he was like, so if you get a personal assistant, will she be doing laundry for us? I'm like, don't get your panties in a bundle. No, we could hire a service. Like, you know, you can pay people to pick up your laundry from the house.
Yeah, but I mean, at that extra time you have on your hands, you can be making money instead of,
Exactly.
time is money.
No, it is for sure.
It's money. You want to get in some buzzworthies?
Buzzworthy.
Everybody's buzzing. So we have to get, I guess, oh, at the top of the show, we wanted to mention something important
Yes.
because we always forget to do call-outs at the beginning
And
because
I
we get too
forgot. Yeah, I'm glad
excited.
you remembered.
What now?
I said, I forgot. I'm glad you remembered.
I know I had a big fat note in the middle of my note saying, please say this. So we've been getting a lot of questions from you guys and a lot of interest in capital D debt. Everybody's got debt. It's that dirty little secret hiding in all of our closets. And we want to sort of create some shows specific around types of debt. And we want more and more questions. If you have student loan debt questions, if you have questions about relationships and debt, family and debt, we've talked about settling debt before, credit debt, all different flavors of debt. We want your questions, and you can go to brownambitionpodcast.com and submit your questions on the super easy form there. And look out for the next couple of months. This is holiday season's coming up, so this is going to be a very good time how to avoid all that holiday debt. And then if you slip, you trip, you get in a little bit of debt around the holidays, hopefully it will help you with some tools that can carry you into the new year, and get that debt off your back.
Yep, we're here to help you with the D.
And oh, Tiffany, I thought I was the raunchy one. Well, somebody got a ring on her finger.
Getting crazy now.
Ooh. That's funny. That's what I'm gonna call the show.
Oh, the D.
Be gonna help you with a D debt.
I know exactly. You got to make sure you put it like, hey, what?
No, I'm really excited because we get so many questions, and our most popular episodes have been where we mentioned debt, and you can never have enough debt shows, apparently. So we're listening, we're hearing you. Send us your questions. Again, you can go to brownambitionpodcast.com and submit questions there. We read all of them, and hopefully you will have your question answered on the show.
Exactly. I got to bring that back. That's the Emmanuel. That's my sister's husband.
I'm hating that there's no hey this week.
I know. You know what? I mean, I'm gonna bring it out when I feel like it. Don't rush me.
Okay, all
Don't
right.
rush me.
I want you to feel it when you feel it. Don't want it to
Exactly.
be forced. I read a really kind of depressing headline. I guess it's not so shocking, but it's one thing when you kind of know it in your mind, but when you read it in print, it's different. But this was a study done by the Brookings Institute, which is a really renowned research think tank, and they found that they kind of looked at how, like, everyone knows student loan debt is a huge issue. People graduate with close to $30,000 in student loan debt on average. But when you break it down by race, it's pretty shocking to see where that disparity gets even bigger when you talk about black students who graduate from college versus white students and how much debt they have. So the Brookings Institute found, are you ready?
I'm ready.
They found that the black-white disparity in student loan debt more than triples after graduation. Black college graduates owe $7,400 more on average than their white peers, $23,000 versus only $16,000. Over the next few years, though, that gap more than triples to a whopping $25,000. They say the differences are pretty much attributed to accruing interest,
Okay.
and the fact that black students in undergrad and graduate school are more likely to take out student loan debt.
Okay, I was gonna
Um,
say that.
there's less household wealth, and so there's less help for college expenses. But that kind of blew my mind because, you know, I mean, I write about student loan debt all the time, and you kind of write it as if it's this whole thing kind of impacting everyone.
Everyone, but not the same.
Not the same. Like so many other issues in personal finance, it gets much tougher when you look at it along racial lines. Yeah, it just goes to show that people in those communities, like, we need to, the education is so necessary. A lot more for minority borrowers, it seems, even because the debt loads are so huge. And man, when I see numbers like that, like $7,400 more may not sound like a lot, but when you say you're paying $7,000 more over 25, you know, year repayment term, that's a lot of interest.
It is.
In the long run that, you know, a white graduate is not dealing with. And that's eating into your earnings for future.
We should get my friend Angela Howe. She's like the walking student loan encyclopedia.
You say that every time. And where is she at, though? Have I told you my friend Angela?
I'm always like, Angela, where do you get this stuff from? This woman is like, I'm like, do you just like memorize every scholarship student loan opportunity? And I do have to like, I have the 80 mind of an 80-year-old, like my memory. But I would love to have her on because that is the thing that what makes student loans sometimes a little bit difficult is that the laws and the rules and the grants and the scholarships are changing constantly. And she keeps up with it. She like enjoys it. Like, you know, she started just helping her kids and then her kids' friends and then it grew. And then on top of that, you know, she knows how to break it down, and I'm like, oh. So yeah, we should have her on because she's just, I'm always like, Angela, you're like the Rain Man of student loan debt solutions.
Yeah, I'm curious because at the end, I mean, it's once you have the debt, it's the debt, like it's there. It's hard mm-hmm. to like get rid of it. It's more just like the education to know how to manage it, you know? And mm-hmm. when you think about Black African American graduates having more debt than other racial groups, I mean, you also have to think about the fact that we tend to earn less than other groups too. So it's like lower earnings plus more debt equals hello how like and rising costs every other area. So it's a struggle. But yeah. I mean, if you have student loan debt questions, maybe we can have Angela on for the student loan debt episode.
I would love that. Like, send in your student loan debt questions. Because we can definitely have her on. I know she'd love to.
Because we've been hearing about her for weeks.
I know.
The people have questions.
So if you really would like for Angela to come on, ask your, like, you know, flood our inbox with your questions. Yes. brownandbitchinpodcast.com.
Well, we just flipped roles just then.
I know, because we did. You did my .com. It's so crazy now because I don't have to remember like our Twitter, our Facebook, our email. Everything is at brownambitionpodcast.com.
Our beautiful new website, freshly designed.
I love it.
By the lovely Terry Lee Taylor. Sorry, Terry girl. My bad. You know what we haven't discussed, though, is the dress that broke the internet.
Who? Michelle.
Yes, girl. Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
Was just going to dinner.
Yeah.
So she thought she would throw on
a little sparkly number.
A rose gold chain mail Versace. Wait, it was Versace, right? Versace evening gown just to go to dinner. Basically wearing my dream wedding dress just to go to dinner.
Just to chill. That's, you know, just done on you.
She couldn't. If they had just like gotten on Air Force One and just like left the country, like, sorry, 8 years is up. Bye. Leave. Taking a month off early. That would have been the perfect moment. Just like, mic drop on this presidency, because they will never be another first family like this one.
No, ever, ever, ever,
ever. Classy, sexy. Yes, I said it.
Yes, because first of all, Michelle turned around. I said, if you don't give us that bottom, Michelle, get into these yams. You see it. This is Chicago, boo.
This isn't the first time her butt, her derriere, her assets have been talked about. Remember that, what was the photo? She was at Essence? Where, like, her butt became a meme?
Because it was the shadow that her behind cast just put out the sun for a minute. We were like, hold up, Michelle. We forget that Michelle is full-fledged African-American. All of, like, you know, like, her ancestors are resting in those yams. I said, okay.
I've never heard them called yams.
You never heard them called
gams, maybe.
No, well, no, I mean, the internet have been calling them yams. I'm like, I think that's what it's
I'm
called.
down.
Yeah, so she is just, I mean, honestly, she's just a beautiful woman. And I just, I mean, she's got a beautiful body. Speaking of which, this morning I woke up and I took a look at my stomach and I said, enough is enough. I need to get snatched, Mandy. You
What
seem like
happened
you're
to
getting more and
your
more snatched.
trainer? I thought you were seeing a trainer.
I was, and then life got in the way. And
And she
then,
was
you
changing
know,
your life. I remember
what?
this.
And then it was like 1 week happened, and then the next week I skipped, and the next, and before I knew it, I just watched her on the Instagram training everybody else, and I'm like, while I
It's like
figure
that awkward ex who you kind of
exactly.
like still follow on Instagram, but you hope they don't like know you're following them.
I know she's like, I'm like, I hope she's not looking at my pictures like, look at Tiffany. She done lost all the progress I put on. And
Listen.
so, yeah, I called my friend Baja this morning, who's like super health nut. And I was like, Baja, tell me what to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And he did. And so I went to food shopping and I got myself just like together. And I mean, I know what to eat. And I just said, I can't. So today actually was a really good day. I did not cheat today. I actually enjoyed what I ate, but I did not, you know, do what I know I'm not supposed to do. And so I'm gonna really try to stick to it because I don't like looking in the mirror and being like, who, what is that?
Just wait till you start wedding dress shopping. My God. I think I've put on weight because I've been so depressed because wedding dress shopping has been such a nightmare. Oof. Have you heard the, oh, well, what I wanted to say when you mentioned the health thing, have you heard about the four burners theory?
No.
So the thing is, the four burners theory is that in order to be successful, you have to cut off one of your four burners. So the burners are one's family, one's friends, one's health, and one is work. So at any given moment, you kind of have to be juggling and you're always sort of like letting one slide in order to like do well at the other ones. And if you really want to be super successful, you have to cut off two burners. It's hard to
Wow.
have all four burners going strong at one time.
It is. It's somebody wrote under my picture because I posted about like the book I told you, the children's book, and someone was like, Tiffany, and congratulations on your engagement. You have just proved you can have it all. And I look behind me like, who?
Until they listen to the podcast.
Like, girl, don't be fooled by these pictures on social media. That I think Oprah said you can have it all, but not at the same time. And that's exactly how I feel. Like, girl, today. This is something good, but know that, you know, although I'm definitely grateful and I'm happy, I can honestly say I'm genuinely happy, but I also live in a perpetual state of overwhelm. Like if you like on the I was Mandy, we were talking about earlier that I have a fertile, what is it called? Like 'cause I'm trying to get pregnant again.
Ovulation.
Yeah, it's an ovulation app. And every day I have to put in like, you know, how much I weigh, what did I eat? And it always asks, how do you feel? And I'm like, let's go right ahead to overwhelmed every single day. Every single day. Because I mean, you could choose a, it might even like, it even asks, are you feeling loved? Do you? And I'm like, yeah, I feel happy and loved. Where's overwhelmed? So there's no, I don't know that, you know, and I'm not saying that you can't have it. And what does even having it all mean? But just know that don't be fooled by the Instagram pics. I mean, I'm overwhelmed. Like, you
Why
know,
don't you
all.
post a picture of that screenshot of that app then? Like,
Right? And be
I'm
like, look.
ovulating and I'm overwhelmed, people.
Exactly. Right?
Hashtag fertilization, hashtag motherhood, hashtag work life balance.
I love this app. It's free. It's called OVIA Fertility. And I love this app. And so if you're looking for a free, like, you know, ovulation app, I highly recommend. Well,
So
let's see if I can.
since you're clearly telling the people that you're trying right now, if people have fertility tips, do you want
Yeah.
some fertility tips?
I would really love that. Like, you know, now that I'm engaged and stuff, about to have a husband, you cannot judge me about purposely trying to get pregnant. But yes, yes, I would love some fertility tips. So I'm
Yeah.
37, just so we're like, you know, we're all on the same page. I'm a little older than your average bear. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I am eating better. I mean, I was never a crazy, terrible eater. I'm not like overweight. I mean, I'm a little thick, and you know, I got the Michelle Obama yams, but my natural frame is like really kind of like on the slimmer side. But yeah, so if you have any tips and tricks and whatever,
I've
then
heard acupuncture works. Let me just throw
yeah.
my two cents in. My birth controlling non-baby having 2 cents. I did some Googling. Acupuncture.
For more children. Everybody else, girl, bye. You tell me what your tricks have been. Those of you without kids trying to give me, well, what you need to do is, no, I need somebody who has clearly it's working.
Do you know what's depressing, though? My cousin's 35, and they say that over, what is it, age is it, where you're there's a cutoff, it's like mid-30s, where they call you a geriatric pregnancy.
What?
Yeah. What? Yeah. I'm not kidding. I'm sorry, but yeah. I know. It's true. She was like 35. She's like, yes, this is considered a geriatric pregnancy.
I mean, whatever, man. Like, I feel like, you know, like I've been reasonably healthy my whole life. Like, I don't, you know, suffer from any major like illnesses, like diabetes or anything.
Listen,
like that.
Listen, look at Janet. That's all I'm going to say. Look at Janet.
I know, but clearly Janet hired all the doctors. All
don't you think it's funny how every celebrity who's like over 40 has twins and they never talk about having it, having, what do you call it? Clearly. In vitro?
Clearly.
Clearly. Like, what, celebrities just have twins? No.
Exactly. And so that's why, I mean, I told myself, you know, we're going to try naturally for like, you know, 6 months or whatever. And then if it seems like it's not really like, you know, happening 6 to 8 months, then that's the road that I'm willing to go down. So if you had in vitro, I'd love to hear your, you know, your feelings. I'm not even gonna lie. I need to like go to my doctor and be like, so is this even possible? Can you just look at my body and just let me know?
Have you not been to the doctor yet?
So no, I have not.
Yes. We can't be soliciting Brown Ambition listeners when you haven't been to your own doctor yet. Get thee to the doctor.
No. Meanwhile, I'm like, I need to just go for a
That's
regular
what you're like going all in. So here's my weight. Here's my blood type. You can just skip the Brown Ambition. Here's my email address. Girl,
I know, this is your
friend speaking. Go to the doctor.
Yes, I'm going to go to the doctor. And I'm just going to be like.
I need my annual checkup, too, for the gyno. I need to book that.
Yeah.
I hate the gyno. They should give out lollipops, I feel like, because it's awful.
Yeah.
I like my gyno a lot, but I hate the experience of going.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I had one gynecologist that actually kind of liked it. I didn't feel weird. And oddly enough, he was a dude, which you wouldn't think.
You had a man gyno?
Yeah. It was weird. Like, it wasn't – he was so – I don't know. Like, his demeanor was just – he had the best bedside manner, so it didn't feel awkward. Like, here's this guy down there. Like, he was very professional, and he was my favorite. Like, I had only women, but a friend of mine was like, Tiffany, he's amazing. You have to. He was an older guy, and I did, and he was great. Honestly.
Oh, so do you still? Is he still your doctor?
Well, like just last year, I finally got official insurance, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah, gotta check that in. Let me be the what do you call it? Not the bearer of bad news. I was the guinea pig. Yeah, check your insurance first.
I know. That's why I'm just like, ugh. I don't even know if he's still on there. I mean, I've had like my regular checkup, but I have to go see my guy now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know you guys are getting a lot of TMI.
That's what they came for. This is a real life situation. Okay.
Because, right? You know, in 6 months when I'm like, see, you guys followed me through the journey to the ring. Now, yay, we're all here. Now we're going to go through the journey to, I don't know how this whole wedding thing's going to happen. I'm like, let's just go to Justice of the Peace. Follow me through the journey for the baby. Because honestly, the wedding part, he's looking to buy a house, a three-family house. I'm like, well, let's put the wedding money toward that instead, you know?
Yeah, that'd be smart.
Yeah. You're a spring chicken, so, you know, you can do all the whole big wedding thing. I just don't really want it. I'm like,
I don't think that gives me an excuse. It still feels really stupid.
Really?
Like, everything kind of just feels dumb. But then it also kind of feels fun. And then it's just, like, conflicting. I'm like, this is stupid. But I want it. This is stupid. But it'd be fun. But this is, like, come on. You can buy a house. I don't know, but I want to have chicken and waffles as an appetizer, though. It's crazy.
My favorite episode yet.
I really just want mini chicken and waffles because everything else just sounds so lame. And then you gotta get the trolleys. I mean, we're having a Savannah wedding. You gotta get a trolley to take everyone to the venue. It's only $175 an hour. I'm going insane. It's like a slippery slope. But the good thing, you know, that I've said along, I've been saving for this for many years. It is not like we're not gonna be in debt for this wedding. And part of me just kind of feels like let's just have a nice. I'm not gonna. I sound crazy because it's like you have these like back and forth in your mind, like. Like, you can't be doing this, but you're only going to have your family together like this once. So you got to go big or go home. But come on, it's just a wedding. But you're bringing them all to Georgia. You got to give them a party. Like, no one even drinks that month. But if you don't get an open bar, everyone's going to talk about you behind your back afterwards.
They will. Yeah, they will. Like, just the other day, Superman was like, man, we got to go to my friend's wedding. It's a cash bar. We were both, like, snickering, like, girl, cash bar.
See?
My bad.
Oh, rude.
I know.
You have too many burners on right now. Your fifth burner is your cell phone. That's true, though. I went to a wedding. Well, I went to a wedding recently, and it was 4 hours. Wait, four? Yeah, 4 hours open bar, but then it turned to cash bar after nine. I thought that was fine. Because honestly, you don't want people drinking for 5 hours anyway. Just get sloppy.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And you just don't want people fighting.
I know. Oof. Weddings in New York. Bless your hearts. I'm so glad we're getting married in Georgia. Okay, well, that concludes our highly personal buzzworthy.
I know.
Sorry. Not sorry. Not sorry.
Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
All right, let's move on to boosting and breaking.
All right.
Do you want to go first?
Yes. This week, I would like
to make a lot of noise.
Yeah, no, that is Superman. I'm like, what are you, jumping on the bed?
Lord, is he okay?
So go upstairs and be quiet. So this week, I would like to boost. And I would like to boost Black fathers.
Or brown.
Just because it was so nice, like this weekend, it was like a love fest of going to, because we didn't just take pictures of my friend Baja and his son. We did like seven other fathers. And it was just so interesting and beautiful to see each father interact with his own child differently. Like, so we went to each father's either home or place where they like to hang out with their kid. And like kids were as young as 1 year old, up to 10. And so it was just so awesome to see, like, you know, especially once they forgot that the camera is there. Like, one father, he and his son have this whole routine. They watch football on Sundays, and they put on their jerseys, and they throw the football around the living room, and mom makes, like, you know, like, whatever fun food. And just to see them talking, and it was so weird because, not weird, but it was so awesome because his father used fantasy football to teach his son, his father's an engineer, to teach his son next level math. And so okay. It was just, so it was just awesome. And then to see my best friend, Drina, and then her son, who's my godson, his father, his son is like one. And like her, Drina's, or her son, Gabe, his father, Keith, is like super cool and chill. You know, like he's one of these like cool cats. And just to see like her them put on like, I don't know, like some dance music for Gabe and Gabe to be dancing and like, Keith, like, indulging him. Like, you know, like, because normally he's like, yeah, you know, I'm just over here, cool. But he was, like, shaking his booty, like, come on, Dad, you know, at one. So it was just, honestly, it was just beautiful to see, and I'm glad I got to capture it. And so I just want to give a boost to brown and black fathers and their love for their children and how they express it uniquely but equally beautifully.
I need to call my dad now. I haven't talked to him in a week. I'm terrible. He probably like, I need to take a brown break for my ungrateful daughter who never calls me. But I send him Bitmojis. He loves them.
That's cute, though.
He loves a Bitmoji. Plus, it saves time. So many emotions, one picture.
You are on the roll.
I'm terrible. I have a lot of burners, okay? Bitmoji helps. Man.
So what are you doing? Are you breaking? Are you boosting?
I think I'm gonna do a break because I just bought my holiday plane tickets, and I just feel like the airlines just take advantage of people who want to spend Christmas with their mothers in Wisconsin, okay? I can't. And I think also it's like the cost, they don't, no one tells you, like, so when you're in a relationship, you're paying for two all of a sudden. Like, because your money's being mingled and like you're picking up a lot of stuff. The way our budget's working now is, I'm picking up a lot of stuff and I'm like, everything is double. It's like $900 for our tickets home for Christmas. Oof. But then I just tell myself, I struggle with the cost, but then I tell myself, like, last Christmas when I didn't go home, I was miserable.
I
So
remember.
miserable, like so depressed. Oh, and then yeah, I think I had some sad podcast episodes.
Yeah.
So it's just like it's the happiness, it's the experience. You need to go. I need to be with my mother. I'm not a happy camper without her at the holiday time. So it's money well spent, but it hurts. It hurts. The pain is real. But this is also a public service announcement. If you've been putting off your holiday travel the next couple weeks, it's the time to do it. With the holidays, you typically want to buy your tickets 8 to 6 weeks out, or else those prices go up by huge amounts.
Ticket to New Orleans. I'm speaking in December, and I was like, it was actually pretty decent. I think I paid 250
But
round
for
trip.
Christmas?
No, it's like December 5th.
Okay, that's not helpful.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I just figured, like, I throw that out there because we're talking.
It's expensive? I went home on December 14th.
We're gonna do Christmas on the
Yeah, I went home last year for my sister's wedding in October. It was 250. Can't believe it. Tickets are like were over
Wow.
400. You know what got me though? Here's the thing. So here's a little thing about buying two tickets at once. So originally, when I was looking for prices, I was looking for one passenger, and I found a flight for like I think it was 3:30 for the flight that I needed. And I was like, oh, I forgot to put two passengers. As soon as I changed it to two, the ticket price went up, and
Really?
I couldn't figure out why. Like when I had two passengers selected, the little error message was like one seat remaining, and I was like, what is happening? And I was worried that there was only one seat left in this flight. No, there's only one seat left at the affordable price point. For some reason, it's like they have different tiers of prices. So as soon as I had two people, we were bumped up to the next level, and it was like almost $400. And then it definitely was over 400 when you factor in taxes. And then I kicked in $12 for the comfortable seats because it's a long flight, and Honey Boo Boo has long legs, so I get in the aisle seat.
Yeah.
It's always nickel and diming. It drives me nuts. So yeah, all in, it was like $900.
Dang, I know you were like, oh, my life.
Ouch. So yeah, this year I'm like, Dad, you come see me after New Year's, because it's hard too. I feel for anyone out there who has parents who are divorced and live in different states, because I tried for a couple of years when my mom moved to Wisconsin to do the whole, first I'll fly to Wisconsin and then I'll fly back to Atlanta and then I'll fly to New York, and it's way too much, not just
Wow.
financially but just mentally. So, and now I have a third family with a.
I know. That's one thing. I'm like, my his family and my family, they just 20 minutes apart. Most of us live in New Jersey, so it's like, well, then I drive to Westfield, then we drive to Newark.
Oh, that sounds nice though. You have it so easy. Oh my God.
And like, so yeah, that's it. So it'll be interesting though this year, like how we're gonna do it, like, because this will be the year where it's like, usually I'm like, well, I'll see you later, or like, I will say this, he spent like maybe like an hour or so for with Thanksgiving with my family and then went to go with his family, and then I met him there later. So, but it'll be interesting now that it's like official, like, so what are we doing for the holidays? Like, am I making Thanksgiving dinner? I
Ooh.
don't know. I
Yeah,
mean, I
it's like you have created a new sort of family schedule, or I don't know, like a family dynamic around the holidays as you get older.
Yeah, so that'll be, I mean, I kind of feel like I don't want to make Thanksgiving dinner till we actually get like our house.
Yeah, I don't know where we're going for Thanksgiving. That's not a hint, I'm just saying out loud.
No. Like, I don't know either. Like, well, usually my parents are like, hey, my mom will just send like a little bat signal up. Okay, we're spending Thanksgiving. We rotate aunts and uncles' houses. So we're spending Thanksgiving at such and such house. We're spending, and it might be our turn this year, or it might be another aunt. I think last year was my sister's house, Carol. That was really nice.
Oh, that's nice. We used to do that. This is
And so,
the, yeah. Oh, Thanksgiving's my favorite, one of my favorite holidays.
yeah, me too, actually, because it's honestly, it's one of the few times that we Well, we get together for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
I feel like it's just about the food. That's why I like it so much. There's no presents or like anything. It's just the food. Like, just let's have no qualms or be, about what we're here for. Everyone's here for the food to get as full as they possibly can and to sit around and digest.
Yes, and just open
It's
that top
awesome.
button. Like, I actually dress for the food. Do you do that for Thanksgiving?
Oh yeah, don't wear tight tights. Nope.
Like, ooh, so what can I wear that's gonna allow my stomach to fully
Oh,
breathe?
no jeans, no jeans.
Jeans. Oh my God, that is the worst. Jeans, especially with a belt. No.
If
You didn't need to
anything,
wear
you
like
can wear stretchy jeggings. I might wear some jeggings.
Or like a really, and like a big sweater to cover the
Yeah.
whole, shame of the pregnant, like looking belly.
But like,
Or
yeah.
like a shift kind of dress. Like, one of those dresses you could just throw on, it's really loose.
That's true, but if it's cool out, you gotta wear tights with that though.
That's true.
You gotta strategize. These are the I have the same conversations in my head, and that's funny. But can I eat? But can I like eat in this dress? I look good, but can I eat in it? Yeah,
Yes,
it's
there's just
important.
something to push through, or am I gonna be like, I hate that fake sucking in thing that you have to do sometimes where you're like, hey, well, in my family, I wouldn't, but like if I wear a dress someplace and I know it's gonna be good food, I'm like, wait, but after I eat, am I gonna have to like hold it the whole time as I speak to strangers so they're not like, what in the hell?
Oh my
Is
God.
she pregnant? No, I'm just chunky.
It's happening. It's a month away. Oof, duh. Can't believe it. All right. So, yeah, I gotta get on my fitness grind
Yeah, I've been
sometime
doing,
soon.
but like like my relaxing on the floor yoga. Like Tiffany, you ain't building no muscle out here. Know why I'm in a silly mood today.
I have been to two. I won. This is kind of embarrassing, but I did go to a wedding conference. I'm just gonna call it that. It was a conference. I won some tickets, quote unquote, to a New York Magazine wedding salon, more like a conference last winter. And I at the thing, I won a raffle for these Pure Barre classes. Have you heard of Pure Barre? It's that really trendy like class where it's like ballet, but it's really freaking hard. You want to kill yourself. And everyone there is like a size negative zero, and they're different shades of blonde. And I had some preconceived notions. I've been kind of like fearing going to this Pure Barre, like, because it's like flywheel, or what are like the really the cult exercises. Everyone is like obsessed with it, and it's really expensive. It's like $40 a class, so it already tells you like what kind of people are going there. So it's like, anyway, I had all these kind of stereotypes for who I was going to run into. And yes, they were there. The Beckys were there. But it wasn't, the class itself was hard. Like, my butt has been in so many different types of spasms since the two classes I went to. It's incredible what you can do with like a little tiny rubber ball and like a ballet bar. It's ridiculous.
That sounds
It
crazy.
hurts. Like, you think you have upper body, I mean lower body strength? Nope. No. But yeah, I went to two classes, and then I've started going to Zumba in my building at the office, trying to get back in it. But yeah, it's hard. I almost feel like now that it's winter, it gets even tougher because no one wants to leave the house to like be active in the winter.
Yeah, nobody, I mean, yeah. So, like, I totally canceled my gym membership. Because I was like, honestly, you have not been in here in months on months on months on months. So, like, at
Yeah.
least 6 months. So, what are we doing spending this $20 a month?
That's a trap. But I feel like, oh, it's only $20. That's not so bad.
Yeah, but still, $20 of using, like, not using it. So, what am I doing?
That's true. It's almost not enough to make you want to go. Like, it's only $20, so
I
it's,
know.
you know what I
But that,
mean?
That's a really smart marketing policy, though. They're like, they know 80% of the people. Like, I think Christmas last year, I bought a gym membership for me. I got like the premium at $20, and I got one for Superman. His was $10, and he literally has gone once.
Oh no. Was it
One time.
Planet Fitness?
Yes. And I was
They're
like, man.
really hard to cancel, notoriously.
Really? I canceled. All they said was, you want to cancel? Where's your, I had to show them my license, and that was it.
You're kidding. My friend
Yeah.
had to send a letter to their headquarters in Arizona or something.
No, they and then today he just canceled his. I was like, babe, go cancel. I'm paying $10 a month for nothing. He's $10 a month, but you never go. So he went and he same thing. They easily let him cancel. Wow. I had heard that too, but they didn't give me any trouble and I just looked and I wasn't charged, so
Maybe it's like a per, maybe every, it's kind of like a franchise, right? So every like location's a little bit different. That's good
yeah.
though.
Yeah, that's true. And plus, I'd heard when I signed up, I remember asking, you know, how do you cancel? Because I did hear some people say you had to send a letter. And in my contract, it says that, you know, you really have to come in and make the request. And then 30 days later, or something like that, it goes through, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. All righty.
Any questions? Yay, listeners.
Yes. Can you set that up a little better, though, so I could edit it?
So we are coming to the question portion of the Brown Ambition Podcast. So if you have questions for Mandy and myself, please ask them at brownambitionpodcast.com. You can tweet us there. You can message us there. You can listen some more, but we'd love your questions. So do we have any awesome, juicy questions today, Mandy?
We do. This is a career question. It's I feel this woman's pain on an acute level. Because okay. I've been there before. Let's just call her D. So D says, I listen to you guys every Tuesday and it's been like hanging with girlfriends. Oh, hey D, you're our girlfriend too. Mm-hmm. And then it goes downhill from there. She says, I have recently changed jobs and now work for a company that is very stable. Many of the people have been there for over 20 years. I work in finance. However, I work for a boss now that is so dismissive. I can never ask her anything without her saying, I don't know what you're talking about, or where are you going with this? It is so dismissive. She's the type of person who has to determine if a person's on her level intellectually in order for her to think that person has value. I've worked in finance for over 20 years. However, I'm at a job now that I am truly miserable. It is an environment where everyone has an office and most of the time they sit in their office with the door closed. I'm used to a lot of interaction. I'm miserable. She says I'm miserable 3 more times.
Aww.
Although this is a good company to work for at age 48, I hate to think that this is my last job. I lost a job and I was out of work for the first time for a while before I found this one. I'm grateful, however, I am not happy. I hate the work that I'm doing and there are a total of 3 black people in this corporate office. What advice would you give me, D?
Oh, D. First of all, a hug before the advice.
I'd give you a big fat glass of wine, D. Cabernet Sauvignon.
So one, you are a young woman still. 48 to stay someplace and be like, oh, I'm just not going to work here till the end. That does not have to be so. Although I can see why you'd be afraid because it took you a long time to find this job, but it doesn't mean that you can't find another. I'm not suggesting that you quit, you know, and then look for a job, but I am suggesting that you look for another job.
Mm-hmm. You have the benefit at this point of having a job while you look for a job. So I would take advantage of that. And sometimes it can give you like a little bit of buoyancy to know that you're looking and that something else good might be around the corner to kind of give you that little extra, like help you deal with the BS at the office a little bit better than maybe you would if there wasn't anything else coming around the corner potentially.
Yeah. Sincerely. So I'll give you an example. So one of my sisters, my real life blood sister, she would have written that email to me like 2 years ago. I mean, she was miserable. Her boss was dismissive. Her boss was like kind of like a bully. She was miserable. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen her cry as a kid. And all of a sudden she's calling me on the phone crying. I'm like, who is this person? She's not the I'm the emotional one, not her at all. So for her to cry was like a big deal. It was to the point where like she was having anxiety attacks and she never had anxiety attacks. Her hand would shake when she was at the computer. I mean, it was really bad and she was so unhappy. And it took me a year of coaching her to leave. Because it was the only job. It was her first job out of college. She had been there for like, I don't know, over 10 years. And she was just like, I thought this was going to be like my forever job. But I'm like, but it's making you sick. It's making you miserable. She's like, but I don't know how to do anything else. So she was afraid.
10 years is a long time.
It is, you know, especially that's your only real professional job experience.
And you've been miserable the whole time.
Well, no, she wasn't miserable the whole time. She was miserable because I guess in corporate America, they have groups, you know, like I'm not super familiar because I've never worked in corporate America, but she was with one group, like sometimes there's companies within the company. So she was with one side before and then they moved her into another group and she didn't even want to move. And I remember her asking me there, she's like, they want to move me to this new group. I don't want to go. I said, well, say no. She's like, you really don't kind of say no to this kind of switch. I said, well, is it a like upward move, backward move? She's like, it's a lateral move. So they moved her and she was miserable for about probably like 2 years, I'd say. So she ended up having to like really just leave. And she had money saved and like, unemployment coming. And I'm not suggesting that for you, but it had gotten really, really bad for her. And so she left, and she always, she's the one who buys like all my budget needs the clothes for me, like shops for them, because she's always super well dressed. I'm like such a slob and I'm like such a tomboy. But if you ever see me like all dressed up looking all sharp and stuff, it's because she picked it out and was like, buy this now. So she always wanted to be a buyer. And so now she works for a large, well-known clothing company, and she's a buyer. She's like a junior buyer. So even though she doesn't even make, I don't think, half of what she made before, even when she complains about it, I'm like, remember how you felt about this time last year? She's like, honestly, I don't even know how. She's like, she would literally start shaking Sunday evening because she knew Monday I have to go to work. And she
Oh,
was
so
like,
she took a pay cut. Yeah, that happens sometimes.
But she's working her way up and she's enjoying herself. And she, because she was living fancy before. She was like, massages this day and manicures here and this and that. And she had to cut some of that back. But in the end, it was worth it to her so she can make a move. And, before long, she slowly but surely, she just had two really great interviews for the next level coming up. And they love her at her new job because she loves her new job. So I say to say all that to say is that I'm not saying quit your job, but I am saying look for another one. Because it does not make sense to be miserable at work. Your health might start to be affected. We don't want that.
Plan your exit strategy.
Exactly.
It's kind of like, think of it as if a girlfriend of yours were telling you that her boyfriend was dismissive and he treated her bad and didn't want to hear what she had to say and didn't think or treated her like she was intellectually not on his level and, made her do all the housework all day and kept the door shut and ignored her when she was there. Like, you would tell her to get out, right? It's
You would.
almost a similar, like, abusive relationship. I mean, on a lesser level, like, I've had issues with managers at jobs where I have gone to them and told them, like, spoken up about the way I, you know, there was one manager I had who was like textbook micromanaging, like to the point where I, like, my schedule was planned for every 15 minutes. I had to let
Wow.
her know where I was going, what I was writing, when it was due. It was way too much. And I had to tell her and I had to tell her bosses that it was too much. It was too much pressure. It was, I was being less productive. It was distracting. It was, and insulting on some level because I was experienced. And I voiced my opinions. And after a while, that manager was asked to leave. And it worked out in the end, I guess, in that way. It doesn't always happen that way. Especially when it's coming from the top level. Like, I feel like top level people are setting that tone. Like, the keeping the office doors closed and not really talking. Like, if it's that ingrained in the culture, then it's probably likely that, filing a, talking to HR, talking to your manager may not work. But it can be
Yeah.
effective in some cases.
You should at least do it because my sister spoke to the HR manager and they kind of pulled her to the side and they're like, we know you should like off the record, you should leave basically because she's gearing up to fire you. She's been like putting stuff in to like,
Oh,
build,
Lord.
yeah, to build a case against you. Like that was like off the record, hey girlfriend, hey, from the HR. She was like, well, how is this allowed? But I told her, and sometimes I say this is that I told her, why are you fighting to stay in this abusive relationship? Like I get it, what she's doing is not right and it's not fair, but why are you fighting to stay here? Like, it's like even if you win and you're like, hey, you can't fire me, you can continue to abuse me on the job though. And so, yeah, so you don't have to fight to stay someplace where you feel unhappy. Definitely speak to HR and see, but if in general you just don't even like the work that you're doing, then it's time to look for another position so you can be happy.
And again, you get to do it while you have a job. That's a nice place to be in. Nicer than, being unemployed and you're desperate. So hopefully start working your connects, start maybe networking. You say you work in finance. Finance is a pretty, people are always moving around in finance, I feel like. So there may be, ask friends, like reach out to people, let them know that you're looking. You never know what's out there. Raise a hand, let people know that you're on the look and maybe something will come your way. Good luck, D.
Yeah, keep us updated, D.
And get some wine, just a little bit of wine. I feel you so much. Oh, man. All right, we have reached the end of another show.
We have, and I had funsies.
Me too. We're silly tonight. Super silly. Did you have some wine?
No, I did not. I don't
just drink. People life? I know.
Because I think I'm just naturally, you know, naturally giddy.
Just giddy. I like to think I bring that out in you myself.
Yes, it is you, man.
God, that was a little Trumpy. That was a little Trumpy of me, wasn't it?
Yes.
Let's do.
You're like, you know, sky's blue. You're wrong. You're like, well, Mr. Trump, that's not a question.
It's a beautiful day because of me. I'm in a great mood. I know because I'm here. That's my Trump impression.
That's a pretty good one.
You're happy. I'm happy. Everyone's happy. So let's leave on a high note. What's your win for the week?
You go first.
I'm gonna do the win for hashtag nasty women because I love how people have turned what Voldemort hath wrought and had said about Queen Hillary during the debate. He called her a nasty woman, and everyone has taken it and turned it right back. The phrase I heard today was that we have weaponized it against him, and I love it so much. Am I my bestie, who doesn't know that she's my bestie, Elizabeth Warren, Lizzie I call her, did a speech today where she's like, nasty women vote, nasty women pay the bills, nasty women get things done. And I was like, yes, go ahead, Lizzie Warren. Where's Miss Janet getting I feel like Janet should be getting like a little, what do you call it, kickbacks from all these mentions of nasty. But I just love it. I feel like it feels like we're reaching a crescendo where women are becoming like a focal point of the election, and everyone's talking about women, and women are just getting excited about voting, and it's going to be the first female president potentially. And it's kind of like the finish line is coming. It's almost over. We just got to hang in there. And I'm excited that nasty woman has come out of that awfulness.
Yeah. I just thought it was hilarious when they put her face on Janet Jackson's body.
Did they? I was waiting for someone to talk about Janet. I didn't see that.
Oh my God, they did. And I was
waiting for a Janet meme.
Well, I want to give a win for the Hidden Figures movie with Janelle Monáe. October. Did we do that?
Right? Oh, is that coming? Do you know, this has been the blackest year in cinema. Can I just say that? Because there's like Hidden Figures. Yeah, we've talked about that before. That's the astronauts, right?
Yeah, women three African-American women who helped NASA launch their first successful space mission. But I just want to say a win because it's out now. It's set to release in January. My bad. But still, like, the poster looks amazing. And it's Taraji P. Henson, Janelle Monáe, and Octavia Spencer. I just think it's such a win because, you know what, it's a win for me. It's because although I have nothing against entertainers and singers and all that kind of stuff, it's nice to have this movie about, you know, women who are smart outside of just, like, you know, their bodies or their voices or, you know, really just their minds. And,
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I think that's a huge win. All I do is win no matter what.
Real quick, I wanted to say, because if we're talking about black movies, the reason I was like, it's the blackest movie, blackest year ever. So Birth of a Nation's been out. I know, controversy, we'll skip that over. But I went to a screening of the movie called Loving a few weeks back. Loving's out November 4th, so just a week or two away. Loving is the story, the real life story of Loving versus, oh crap, is it Virginia? I believe it's a famous Supreme Court case. It's the reason I am who I am, because it legalized interracial marriage in the U.S. The Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional to make a couple, you know, imprison a couple who were interracial for loving each other. So that's coming out. And I saw the movie. It was really good. It was people were giving a little bit of flack because the actress who played the woman who's black was Ethiopian and British or something like that. And I was like, come on. Like, it's fine. Come on. They're telling a story. Come on. And on top of that, I saw another movie, Moonlight, who's starring Janelle Monáe again. Janelle Monáe is like in the movies right now. Moonlight is a story about a young black boy who's gay, and he's like taken under the wing of a local drug dealer.
Okay.
And it's getting like amazing reviews,
I've
like Oscar
heard.
reviews. So those are two good films. And then there's Ava DuVernay's movie on Netflix, the documentary called The 13th, which is about, which I watched. It's really, I mean, it's kind of depressing, but it's also really good. I mean, it's not like it's not brand new information, but it's like information everyone should be reminded of. It's basically talking about the incarceration system in America and kind of the history of how we got such overcrowded prisons and so many African American families ripped apart. But like a really well done one that you can tell was done by somebody who like takes it seriously. So
I
I'm
cared.
just, yeah, I'm like loving all the cinema happening right now.
Yeah, it's a very black year.
2016, man.
Yes, a very, very black, like, just year for TV, movies, all that kind of stuff.
We didn't even talk about TV yet. Insecure, I'm obsessed with.
Was gonna say I'm boosting that, even though I have not seen it. I heard it's hilarious.
It's good stuff. It's only half an hour too. So, I mean, it's like 20 something minutes. It's good times. And one thing I haven't watched so much of is Queen Sugar, because it's an hour, and it's hard to find hours to watch a show.
I'm not even gonna lie, I have not watched. I just don't even have time. I'm like, when do you? I know, you know, because I'm like, when do people, how? So, what is this thing called TV?
You can have your personal assistant like watch it, but then give you like the cliff notes.
Recap. Oh, that would be awesome. I used to do that for like an ex-boyfriend of mine. He used to, like, at work, like, he was like, you know, because I would always watch like all like the shows and stuff. When I was a teacher, I had plenty of time. And then I would talk to him about it as I like made dinner and stuff. And he thought it was foolish until like they talked about it at work, and he would like share what I said, and he would come back and be like, "So tell me more stuff because
Yeah.
it's fine at work." And I'd be like, "Ooh, okay, so tell him that you totally love." I thought that was hilarious.
That's funny. Well, I'll let you know what happens on Insecure.
Okay.
It's good stuff. All right, another show in the bag. If you're still
another.
listening, bless you. And you can send your questions for our upcoming debt series. You can go to brownambitionpodcast.com.
Yes. And we will chat with you next week.
Until next week, I bid adieu.
Good night.
Night.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.